This is tape one, side two, continuing the Small Talk Plus Owner's Manual. Page 2-6. Okay, so we have 123 on the screen. Let's subtract 12 from it. Press down with the small finger of your right hand as it resets on the home row position. This is the minus key. Now enter 12 by pressing your index finger's key and your middle finger's key. The last thing to do is press the equals key, which you'll recall is the return key. The answer 111 will be read as it is displayed on the screen. Use the space bar to hear the answer again. Those are the basic moves. Let's do another and introduce a few new terms that will be helpful as we talk more about the calculator. Let's add 5 plus 2. First, we'll enter the 5. The 5 is on the row of keys above home row, and it can be reached with your middle finger. This number is called an operand. An operand is simply a number that's to be used in a calculation. To do any four-function arithmetic, one needs two operands separated by an operator. The operator is a symbol that represents the relationship between the two operands. In this example, plus is the operator, indicating that the two operands are to be added together. So, enter the plus operator, which is located just below home row, and an easy reach for your small finger, and then the second operand, the 2, located right under your middle finger on home row. Now press the equals key. That completes the operation. To perform any of the basic four functions, use the pattern operand, operator, operand. After this, you may want to press the equals key, or go on with another operator, operand sequence. Actually, you can go on and on entering additional operator, operand pairs indefinitely. Each time the new operator is entered, the pending operation will be completed just as if the equals key had been pressed. In the case of a subsequent pair, the result from the previous operation is taken as the first operand to be used in the new operation. Here's an example, but this time you are on your own with the keyboard. Enter 9 plus 1 plus. What happened when you entered the last plus operator? The original expression, now known to be complete, is evaluated, and the result, 10, is displayed and spoken. Now you have two of the parts for the next calculation, the 10 resulting from the first expression and the plus operator you entered last. You have 10 plus waiting for the next operand. Go ahead and enter another operand and another operator. As we said earlier, you can go on doing arithmetic this way indefinitely. Page 2-7. 2.3. Clearing and correcting. If you happen to enter an operand incorrectly, it can be cleared out, and a new correct one can be entered in its place. This is the function of the clear entry key. Let's say that you have entered 1949.0306 plus 9, and you meant to add 8. Instead of having to enter the entire expression again, just press the clear entry key and enter the 8. Since the clear entry key is the first key we've talked about that's in the left-hand group, we'll tip you off to its exact location. With the index finger, reach down to the bottom row of keys and press what would be a C on a typewriter. Know that the clear entry key is just for clearing entries. It will not clear a number shown on the screen resulting from a calculation. If you were to try that, the key would just beep at you. There's another way to do that. Read on. Right next to the clear entry key is the clear key. It is similar to the clear entry key, but it clears anything and everything. When the clear key is used, any operand, operator, and or result from a previous calculation are all purged. What happens if you enter the wrong operator? The clear entry key is just for use with operands. You could use the clear key and wipe out everything, but that could be a hassle. It's really no problem. Just go ahead and enter the right operator. Whenever two or more operators are entered in immediate succession, only the last one entered is used. Simply stated, when a new one is entered, the previous one is discarded. 2.4, the times minus key. In the last topic, you learned that no matter how many operators are entered, only the last one entered is used. What if you needed to work with negative numbers? If you entered something like 2 minus parentheses negative 3 and then pressed the equals key, the answer would be negative 1 instead of 5. page 2-8. This is because the second time the minus key was pressed, the first minus was discarded. Fear not. This is where the times minus key comes in. Let's do 2 minus parentheses negative 3 the right way. Enter 2 and press the minus key. Now enter the 3. At this point, we have 2 minus 3. On the screen shows a 3, and if you use the space bar to review the screen, you'll hear 3. We need to make that 3 into a negative 3. No problem. Located on the ring finger of your right hand, where the period is on a typewriter, is the times minus key. Press it once. You'll see the number on the screen change from 3 to negative 3. Use the space bar again to hear the difference. Now we have changed the operand into a negative number. This does not disturb the other components of our expression. We still have 2 minus, but now a negative 3 is the second operand. Go ahead and press the equals key. The answer is 5. When the times minus key is pressed, it will multiply the number currently displayed by negative 1, thereby changing the sign of the number. You can change negative 3 back into a positive 3 by using the times minus key once again. 2.5, a printing calculator. If you would like a printed record of your work, you can turn on the printing feature by typing Control-P. You'll hear the message, printer on. With the printer on, each operand, operator, and each result is printed as the work is done. Let's try it. If you haven't already, type Control-P and listen for the message confirming our request. Now we'll just do a series of calculations and observe that besides being spoken and displayed on the screen, the work is listed on the micro printer. Try 105.95 plus 619.20 minus 320 minus 59.23 and 17.69, and finally press the equals key. Here's what your printout will look like. Page 2.-9. 105.95 plus 619.20 minus 320 minus 559.23 minus 17.69 equals 328.23 less than. The Control-P command is a toggle switch. That is, if the printer is on and Control-P is typed, it will turn the printer off. So use Control-P both to turn it on and to turn it off. Turning the printer off will yield a confirming message, printer off. 2.6, summary. Congratulations! You now know how the basic calculator works. In this section, we worked together through some simple arithmetic, introduced some new terms, talked about what to do if you make a mistake entering operands and operators, discussed how to do arithmetic on negative numbers, and finally, we showed you how to turn the printing feature on and off, and showed an example of its printing. Page 2-10, Section 3, Memories. 3.1, Introduction. Memories can make your work easier. You can use CalcTalk's 10 memories for saving those intermediate results that are sometimes needed a moment later in a subsequent calculation. Or you might want to save certain constants like pi semi-permanently. We'll talk about both of these possibilities in this section. Along the way, we'll show you how to use stored values in calculations, how to review the contents of a given memory, and we'll show you how to accumulate sums directly in memory using the memplus feature. 3.2, memread and memwrite. To make the memory functions most convenient, all four of the keys you'll use are right under the fingers of your left hand when it's on the home row. Let's first use the memread key. It's under your index finger. As you've become accustomed to, when the key is pressed, it announces a confirming message, memread. Next, we have to indicate which of the 10 memories we want to read. Memories are identified by entering a number 0 through 9. To read memory 1, enter the number 1. The contents of that memory will be displayed on the screen and spoken. Let's read memory 2. First, press the memread key and follow it directly with the number 2. Again, the contents of this memory are copied to the screen and spoken. Reading a memory does not change it. You can read from a memory as often as you like without disturbing its contents. The read function just makes a copy of the contents and puts it on the screen. Memwrite is the reverse of memread. This is how you put a number in a memory. To write a number into a memory, you must first get the number on the screen. You can enter it, or you can use a number that has been displayed as a result of a calculation, or your number can be read from some other memory. Page 2-11, it really doesn't matter how the number gets there. Once the number that you want to save is on the screen, just press the MemWrite key and follow it directly by a number indicating the memory that's to be used. To save 3.141 in memory 0, enter the number, press the MemWrite key, and enter the number 0. To confirm this operation, clear the calculator with a clear key, then press the MemRead, followed by a 0. The number 3.141 should show up on the screen, and it should be spoken. Reading and writing memories is that simple. All the memory functions are used similarly. First, the desired memory function key is pressed. Then it is followed by a number indicating which particular memory is involved. It's just as easy to use a number that has been saved in a memory for a calculation. Earlier, you saved 3.141 in memory 0. If we wanted to add this to 5, we would enter 5 plus memread 0. You see, reading a number from a memory is just as good as entering it into an operation yourself. Any number that is put in the screen will be accepted as an operand. Like most information entered into Smalltalk Plus, the calculator memories will not go away if you leave CalcTalk or when you turn Smalltalk Plus's power switch off. All of the memories will remain intact unless you change them or if Smalltalk Plus is reset or initialized. 3.3 MemSwap. What if you just want to review the contents of a memory? This is where MemSwap comes in handy. As its name implies, MemSwap exchanges the number in the specified memory with the number that's displayed on the screen. This way you can get a look at it. When your memory has been refreshed, do the MemSwap again to restore the original display, if desired. To swap the screen with memory 7, press MemSwap and the number 7. That's all there is to it. Page 212. 3.4 MemPlus. You can accumulate a running total in memory with the MemPlus function. When doing work that involves running summations, this can be a handy feature, since it leaves the screen free for intermediate calculations. For example, imagine that you're going down a list of numbers, adding them all up, and you come to a point that requires some intermediate steps in order to come up with the next number to be added to the accumulating sum. Anticipating the situation, you would do your addition in a memory. That way, you can freely use the screen for other calculations and go back to adding numbers to the total in the memory easily. To use the MemPlus function, first be sure that the memory you plan to use contains 0. If in doubt, put a 0 in it using the MemWrite function. Now, to add a number to the memory, get the number to be added on the screen, press the MemPlus key, and as always, when using a memory, you must follow the memory function key with a number identifying which memory is to be used. You can go on repeating this sequence for as long as you want. 3.5 Summary. Now you know all about memories. In this section, we covered reading and writing memories, how to review a memory, and how to use the MemPlus function to accumulate a sum directly into a memory. Page 2-13, Section 4, Scientific Functions. 4.1 Introduction. In this section, you'll see where CalcTalk really shines. A complete set of scientific functions and their inverses are available with a left-hand key group. First, we'll show you how to square a number and take the square root. We'll go on to trigonometry and logs. You're going to learn how to raise a number to any power and take any root. And lastly, in this section, we'll use the percent key and the 1x function. There's a lot of material here, so take your time. If you're only interested in a specific function or a small group of functions, then focus on what your particular needs are. You can always come back for more. 4.2, square and square root. One of the easiest of all the functions you'll learn in this section is the square. It's literally just a matter of pressing a button. The button, of course, is the square key. Let's see how it works. Enter the number 2 into the calculator. We're going to square this number. With your left hand, press the square key, which is where the R is located on a typewriter. The answer, 4, appears. Press the square key again, 16, right? It's as easy as that. When the square key is pressed, the number currently displayed on the screen is immediately squared. Page 2-14. Unlike the four basic functions you learn in Section 2, the square function requires only a single operand. For this reason, the square function is called a unary function. Addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division operations require two operands and are therefore called binary functions. Many of the scientific functions you'll learn in this section are unary, so they'll act immediately on the displayed number. The times minus key that you learned about in section 2 is actually a unary function. Let's try another example. How would you do 3 squared plus 4 squared? Well, we'll show you. First, enter the 3 and press the square key. You'll get 9. Now enter the plus operator, followed by the number 4. The expression now is 9 plus 4. Press the square key. What happens? The 4 is squared, and the result, 16, is displayed. But the expression that you have now is 9 plus 16. Go ahead and press the equals key for the final answer, 25. From the preceding example, you can see that it's okay to use the square key on a number even if an operation is in progress. The second operand in the case of the example 4 is acted on by the square function and is then replaced with a new second operand, 16. Now let's do something different. Actually, let's do the inverse, the square root. The square root function is another unary operation. It works the same way as a square. It even uses the same key, except in order to do the inverse of a function, you must first press the inverse key. Try it. Enter 16 into the calculator. Now press the inverse key, and then press the square key. There's a new message, square root, informing you that CalcTalk recognized the inverse key and changed the square function to the square root, and naturally, the answer 4 is displayed on the screen. So you can use the square key in either of these two ways. The secret is to precede the function with a press of the inverse key to indicate that you want the inverse of the function. Page 2-15. 4.3, trigonometry. Across the top row of the keys in the left-hand group are the trig functions. The first key in this group is the degree radian key. This allows you the option of doing your trig either way, as we'll see later. The other three keys are tangent, cosine, and sine. We'll show you how these work with some examples. Before doing any trig, you should check and see what mode you're currently in. Press the degree radian key once. It will announce its setting. Press it again, and it will change to the other possibility, and again announce its new setting. For now, let's use radian mode. Let's go for this sine of pi over 2. Enter 3.141 into the calculator. Now divide it by 2, and here's the clincher. Press the sine key. The answer to this problem is supposed to be 1, but since we didn't really enter pi, but a crude estimation, something less than its actual value, we get an answer slightly smaller than we should have, but close enough. Why couldn't we have just entered 3.141 2 sine and then press the equals key? Why do we do the division first? Well, you can see that if you had have done it that way, you would have got 3.141 divided by the sine of 2. Remember how unary functions work when used in the middle of an operation. How about trying degree mode? Press the degree radian key until you get the message degree mode. Of course, the difference is in how CalcTalk interprets the number it is to act on. If you're in radian mode, then CalcTalk expects the numbers representing angles to be entered in radian measure. When in degree mode, angles are interpreted as being expressed in degrees. So in degree mode, enter 90 and press the sine key. The answer is 1 minus the sine of 90 degrees. Want to try the cosine? The cosine of a 180 degree angle is equal to negative 1. Try it. Enter 180 and press the cosine key. All the trig functions work this way. Try a few on your own and try using the tangent. Page 2-16. Remember the inverse key. It, when combined with the trig functions, yields the inverse trig functions arc sine, arc cosine, and arc tangent. If the cosine of 180 degrees is equal to negative 1, then the arc cosine of negative 1 should be equal to 180. Let's give it a shot. First, enter 1. Press the times minus key to change the sign, then press the inverse key, and lastly, press the cosine key. Since the cosine key was preceded by the inverse key, you heard the message arc cosine confirming the operation, and the answer 180, which is just what we wanted, is displayed on the screen. Again, all the trig functions work in the same way. Practice with them and with the inverse key. 4.4, logarithms. There are two log functions available to you. They are the natural log and the common log. Each are unary functions. By now you know how to use a unary function. How about you trying to take the natural log of 2.7182, parentheses e? The answer you'll get is something less than 1, but real close to it due to our approximation of e. Why don't you work a few problems on your own? Try out the common log. Remember that even though the functions are new, they are used just the same way as the other unary functions that you've learned. Use the inverse key in conjunction with the log functions. The inverse of the natural log in the function e to the x, and the inverse of the common log is 10 to the x. 4.5, other exponents and roots. Here's a powerful key, the y to x key. With this function, you can raise any number to any power, and with its inverse, you can take any root of any number. These operations are a little different than most of the other scientific functions. It is a binary function. Remember those? That's where you have two operands separated by an operator, and to get the answer, you press the equals key. Page 2-17. For the y to the x function, you must supply the y to the x operator, and the x before pressing equals. Let's see in action with some examples. First, we'll raise 2 to the 3 to the third power. Enter 2, your base. Then press the y to the x key. Enter the exponent, 3, and press the equals key. Your answer is 8. Let's go ahead and raise 8 to the 4 power. Just press the y to the x key, enter 4, and press equals. How about roots? The inverse of y to the x is known as the nth root. To take the 7th root of 128, enter 128, press the inverse key, and the y to the x key, then enter 7. Now press equals to get the answer. You can use the y to the x function and its inverse on the second operand of an operation in progress. If you were to enter 2 plus 2 y to the x 7, you would get 130 as your answer. You see, when the equals key was pressed, the second operand was raised to the 7th power, and then that result was substituted for the original operand. Then the newly formed binary operation was completed, and its result displayed. 4.6% and 1x. The percent function can be very handy when figuring out your income taxes or computing sales tax. We're sure that you'll find many other uses for it. It's a versatile function. It can be used as a unary operation, but it is most powerful when used in conjunction with the second operand in an expression. This use is different than what we've taught you so far, so let's get right into some examples. Supposing you're making a $195 purchase and you have to add 3% sales tax. Here's how you do it. Enter the $195. Since we want the tax amount that we're going to compute to be added to the purchase price, enter the plus operator. Now we wanted to add 3%, so enter 3 and press the percent key. After the usual kind of confirmation message, you'll hear the intermediate result, 5.85, as it's displayed on the screen. 5.85 is 3% of 195. Page 2-18. To complete the operation, press the equals key. The computed tax amount will be added to the $195 purchase price, and the answer 285 will be displayed. You might think of the 3 we entered as a parameter needed by the percent function so it would know what it was supposed to do. It had to know how many percent of the first operand you wanted to be added on. How about if someone were selling you something at a 30% discount off the original price of $459? You could do it this way. Enter the original price of $459. Since we want to subtract the discount, enter the minus operator. Now enter the 30 and press the percent key. First, the intermediate result will tell you how much you're saving, and then after you press the equals key, you'll see the discounted price. Although it's not the mathematical inverse of the percent function, you do have an extra function available to you by using the inverse key in combination with percent. This extra function is 1x, the reciprocal. The reciprocal function is a unary one. Let's do some reciprocal addition. Enter 12 and press the inverse key followed by the percent key. You'll hear the message 1 over x. Then as usual, the answer is displayed. Now enter a plus operator and enter a 6. Press the inverse key followed by the percent key once again. The second operand was replaced with its reciprocal. Finally, press the equals key to perform the addition. 4.7, summary. There was a lot to learn about in this section. Congratulations! You graduated from the CalcTalk course. This section taught you about unary scientific function and some binary ones. We covered squares and square roots, trig functions, logarithms, and we showed you how to raise a number to any power and take any root. In the last topic, we took up the percent function and the reciprocal function. We encourage you to take advantage of all you've learned here.
Part 3, the word processor, table of contents. Section 1, meet word talk. 1.1, introduction, 3-1. 1.2, overview, 3-1. 1.3, turning the word processor on or off, 3-2. 1.4, summary, 3-2. Section 2, basic tutorial. 2.1, introduction, 3-3. 2.2, how to begin, 3-3. 2.3, the editor, 3-4. 2.4, printing, 3-7. 2.5, summary, 3-8. Section 3, editor tutorial. 3.1, introduction, 3-9. 3.2, initializing memory, 3-9. 3.3, entering the editor, 3-9. 3.4, write a letter, 3-10. 3.5, moving around in the text, 3-12. 3.6, inserting, deleting, and erasing, 3-13. 3.7, cutting and pasting, 3-16. 3.8, built-in reference card, 3-17. 3.9, summary, 3-17. Section 4, editor extras. 4.1, introduction, 3-18. 4.2, go-to scrolling, 3-18. 4.3, more on tabbing, 3-19. 4.4, centering a line, 3-19. 4.5, find and replace, 3-20. 4.6, summary, 3-22. Section 5, block operations. 5.1, introduction, 3-23. 5.2, marking the block, 3-23. 5.3, deleting, 3-24. 5.4, copying, 3-24. 5.5, writing, 3-25. 5.6, moving text, 3-25. 5.7, summary, 3-25. Section 6, format operations. 6.1, introduction, 3-26. 6.2, overview, 3-26. 6.3, setting up a format, 3-27. 6.4, changing the format, 3-28. 6.5, tabs, 3-29. 6.6, remembering format, 3-29. 6.7, summary, 3-30. Section 7, microcassette tape. 7.1, introduction, 3-31. 7.2, organizing text on tape, 3-31. 7.3, setting the counter, 3-32. 7.4, saving files, 3-33. 7.5, loading files, 3-33. 7.6, what's on tape, 3-34. 7.4, merging files, 3-34. 7.8, importing and exporting, 3-35. 7.9, tape maintenance, 3-35. 7.10, summary, 3-36. Section 8, print operations. 8.1, introduction, 3-37. 8.2, external printers, 3-37. 8.3, voice print, 3-38. 8.4, PARMS menu, 3-39, 8.5, the range option, 3-39, 8.6, stopping print, 3-40, 8.7, summary, 3-40. Section 9, communications, 9.1, introduction, 3-41, 9.2, uses, 3-41, 9.3, communications function keys, 3-41, 9.4, word talk to word talk, 3-42, 9.5, foreign files, 3-43, 9.6, summary, 3-44. Section 10, additional notes, 10.1, introduction, 3-45, 10.2, escaping menus, 3-45, 10.3, prompts, 3-45, 10.4, introducing interruptibility, 3-46, 10.5, quick print, 3-46, 10.6, summary, 3-47. Section 1, Meet Word Talk, 1.1, Introduction. Undoubtedly, the most powerful feature of Smalltalk Plus is its built-in word processing program. With it, you can write notes, letters, reports, or anything you want. In this section, we'll describe the word processor and its features and show you how to turn it on and off. 1.2, Overview. The word processing component of Smalltalk Plus is actually WordTalk, our company's standard word processing program available for IBM PC and Apple computers. For Smalltalk Plus, we've put the program on a chip so that it's available to you with the press of a button. WordTalk will handle your most demanding writing needs. It has a comprehensive set of features for editing text. These include the ability to insert and delete text, move passages of text around within a document, find specified words and replace them with other specified words. You can permanently save your work on the built-in microcassette. You can print text on the built-in micro printer or print it on an external full-size printer. The WordTalk program provides for transferring a text file from Smalltalk Plus to some other computer or from some other computer to Smalltalk Plus. WordTalk is largely based on menus for operation. These menus are very much like the system menu you've already worked with. In addition to the menus, the text editing commands are control characters like Control X command you've used. All this will, of course, be covered thoroughly in this manual. We'll be referring to the creating and editing of text as being done in the editor. The editor is just a term that we use to speak of the facility within WordTalk that provides for these activities. 3-2. 1.3, turning the word processor on or off. By now you surely noticed the W equals word processor option offered to you by the system menu. All you need to do to turn on the WordTalk is select W from this menu. You'll hear the following message, WordTalk X.x. This message is simply WordTalk's way of identifying itself. Notice the version number that follows the name. It could be important if you ever need technical support for WordTalk from your dealer. After the message is read, you're there. You'll see WordTalk's main menu appear on the screen, and you'll hear the title read aloud. Smalltalk Plus can now be thought of as a dedicated word processing machine. The main menu and what to do to begin using WordTalk will be the subject of the next section. Now let's see how you turn WordTalk off. Remember, the Smalltalk Plus system menu key, that's right, the second key on the system function key row, is the menu key. Whenever you're finished with a word processor, simply press the menu key. Leaving WordTalk will not affect the text that you've typed into its memory. The next time you come back to word processing, you'll find your work there just as you've left it. You can even turn Smalltalk Plus off entirely without losing the text. 1.4, summary. Now you've got the idea of WordTalk. In this section, we've introduced it to you, talked about some of the features, and showed you how to turn it on and off. In the next section, we'll get down to using WordTalk. Section 2, Basic Tutorial, page 3-3. 2.1, Introduction. This section is a tutorial. We'll take you through creating and printing your first document. This is an interactive tutorial and probably the most important section in this manual, so please follow along and perform the operations with us. 2.2, how to begin. Here we go. Let's start from scratch. When you first turn on Smalltalk Plus, you're offered the system menu. Smalltalk TM X.x, W equals word processor, C equals calculator, T equals terminal. This menu should be becoming very familiar to you. It's always a starting point when using Smalltalk Plus. To take a memo or write a book, select the word processor option. When you do so, you'll notice the WordTalk program identifying itself, something like this, WordTalk TM X.x. Remember, the version number may differ slightly from this example. Next, WordTalk's main menu will appear. Main, I equal initiate, E equal edit, F equal format, P equals print, T equals tape. As in the case of the system's menu, WordTalk's menus are simply lists of available options. And similarly, only the title of the menus are spoken. Press the spacebar to hear all the options. 3.4. Now you're ready to go to work. You can see that this main menu lists various options for you to select from. To hear the menu read again, simply press the spacebar again. Page 3-4. 2.3, the editor. We want to create a new document. So to begin, simply press the return key without taking any of the options listed on the menu. Pressing the return key instead of selecting one of the options offered on WordTalk's menus is the way you enter the editor. Entering the editor means that you are ready to begin typing your first document. Your cursor is dropped from the control panel and positioned in the first column of the first line that is available for typing. The cursor is a pointer. It shows you where the next character that you type will be positioned on the screen. The complete address of this position in the text is column 1, line 1, page 1. Why here? Because, by default, none of the columns on the left have been reversed for a left margin, have been reserved for a left margin. Likewise, none of the lines at the top of the page have been reserved for a top margin. And finally, WordTalk assumes that you're probably going to want to start on page 1. Defaults, as you know, are values built into the program to be used if no other values are given. These default values are convenient for printing on the built-in microcomprinter. There will be more on margins and other formatting features later in Section 8. You ask the editor to read the address aloud by typing Control A. The A here stands for address, to help you remember what it does. There are many control characters that we'll be using to command the editor. Most of the control character commands are organized so that the command stands for something you can easily remember. Control commands, such as Control A, are typed by using Control key, the Control key. To type a control character, press down the Control key and hold it down while you type the accompanying letter, then release both keys. Again, you'll often be using the Control key to command the editor, so why not practice once or twice with Control A? 3-5. Let's start typing. How about a familiar poem, Mary Had a Little Lamb? You press the shift key together with the M, then A-R-Y. Press the space bar, then H-A-D, and so on. See how easy this is. Notice how each character type is echoed by your keyboard voice. And see how the uppercase letters are voiced in a slightly higher pitch for audible identification. If you make a typo, you can backspace and type over it. Backspacing is accomplished by typing a Control H. This command moves your pointer one column to the left. Go ahead and type it a few times to get familiar with it. There are three other directions that you can move the cursor in: to the right, down, and up. Each of these moves are accompanied by typing in a particular control command, like the one you've used for backspacing. Let's look at each one. Control U is the reverse of backspace. It moves your pointer one column to the right. This is also called front spacing. Control J moves your pointer down the page one entire line. Finally, Control K gives you a way to move up a line at a time through a page. You'll notice that each character that is backspaced over is echoed by the voice. Whenever moving with cursor commands, the editor will echo the new character that your cursor lands on. Let's go ahead and continue typing the poem. Watch what happens as you continue typing. Soon you will hear a two-tone signal, and perhaps you have a partial word brought down to a new line. Why? Because the word that you were typing didn't fit the space you had left on the first line. This phenomenon is known as word wrap. Don't let the word wrapping disturb you. Just continue typing without hesitation. Nothing that you have typed will be lost, though it may take a short moment for the voice to catch up with you. Your keyboard is buffered by the editor, so you don't have to wait for the echo from the voice synthesizer unless you're a mighty fast typist. A buffer is a temporary holding area. Characters that you type at the keyboard go directly to the keyboard buffer and consequently to your text. 3.6. Two descending tones that you heard told you, without your needing to see, that you have moved down a line in the text. The reverse of this tonal sequence is used to tell you that you've moved up. Go ahead and play around with your cursor commands. Don't forget that you can ask for your address within the text by using the Control-A command. This is the end of tape number 1. The Smalltalk Plus Owner's Manual will be continued on tape number 2.